Thank you very much for reading, Malcolm. Shall we pray together before we do anything else? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Thank you that we have time together this morning to think about our ministry to children and young people. Father, pray as we look at Deuteronomy 6, you would stir our hearts and prepare us for action so that we may do a wonderful job of caring for the children and young people in our church family, and that you may be glorified in their lives. Amen. So it's a joy, actually, to spend this morning thinking about the ministry we have to children and young people at All Saints. You know, our ministry is thriving. Sarah spent some time working out the averages of attendance on Tuesdays and Sundays. We're seeing 100 children and young people on Tuesday evenings, and we are seeing 80 to 90 on Sunday mornings. And they're not the same group, so the number is bigger than either of those numbers suggest. We're thriving, and so it's right that we spend time as a church family thinking about youth and children's ministry. We did this a few years ago, and we took a look at Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. Let me read it to you. It'll be up on the screen. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. From this passage, we said that our biblical vision for youth and children's ministry was one generation teaching the next about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, so they might trust him and in turn tell the next generation. One generation teaching the next about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, so that they might trust him and in turn tell the next generation. That is absolutely still the case. The biblical vision here hasn't changed. But this morning, we're just going to spend a few minutes thinking about a vital role in that vision. The single most important relationship in a young person's discipleship: parents. Throughout the Bible, we see commands for parents to instruct their kids and for kids to listen to their parents' teaching. And that biblical priority shows itself in the stats. Earlier this year, a number of evangelical organizations got together and they commissioned a nationwide ministry survey. It was called the National Ministry Survey. It was massive. And it recently published its findings. And it shows that 77% of believers come to faith before the age of 18. 77%. And that the two most significant factors for them coming to faith are church attendance and the influence and encouragement of parents. This is massive. The role of parents is massive. But as we come to Deuteronomy 6, just think about everything that has happened to the Israelites in the 40 years leading up to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy is like the last sermon Moses gives to the Israelites after 40 years of leading them. They've been freed from slavery in Egypt through unforgettable and devastating plagues, including the Passover, the death of every firstborn son in Israel, with the exception of the Israelites who painted the blood of a lamb on their doorframes. They fled from and been pursued by an army. They fled through a parted Red Sea. God's given them the Ten Commandments and the law, showing them how to live for him as people who have been rescued by him. And his grace has been on display again and again and again during their wanderings in the desert as they've grumbled and failed to trust him. At the big picture, for those Israelites who were listening to this for the first time, the big context was a God of grace, who had forgiven and loved them. And that is key before we dive into this topic of parenting. There is nothing that's going to be said today that should induce guilt or is us sitting in judgment over you. Parenting, like any other area of our lives, will include failures. But there are bucket loads of grace available. And what Deuteronomy does is it moves from the God of grace who loved them to living for that God of grace. That's the focus of the first half of our passage. If you've got your Bibles still open, do look down at verses 1 to 3. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. The focus is on obedience after rescue, to observe God's commands, but in the land he's giving you by grace. To keep his commands, but so that you might enjoy his smile. To obey him in the land flowing with milk and honey. This is discipleship in the context of grace. And the first thing we see in verses 4 to 5 is that parents are to love God. Parents love God. Look down at verses 4 to 5 with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. The first commandment is to recognize the Lord, the rescuing Lord who revealed himself to his people and rescued them from slavery in Egypt, the Lord who makes a covenant with his people. The Lord is God. He is one. And recognizing that he is God, to love him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Now, literally, that last word is with all of your muchness, with every fiber of your being. And it gets picked up by Jesus in Matthew 22. Steve read it out at the beginning of our service. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. Love God. And in Deuteronomy, the need to obey the commands of God, the need to love the Lord with every fiber of who you are, comes in the context of families. Now look back down at Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Verse 2, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. See what Deuteronomy's saying? Obey God's commands, both for your sake and for the sake of your children. Love the Lord your God, both for your sake and for the sake of generations to come. And so parents, I've got to ask you, do you love God? Do you love Jesus with every fibre of your being? Do you love God, and are his commandments written on your heart? See, I think one of the most significant things we can do for our families is love God. Now, I don't have children, but I am married, and I think the same thing applies for Sarah and I's little family. There are lots of things that Sarah needs from me as her husband. And there are lots of things that I need from Sarah as my wife. There's lots of ways that it's right and proper for us to act with each other. But what she needs the most is to have a husband who loves the Lord and who strives to live for him. What I need the most is a wife who loves the Lord and who strives to live for him. I think it's the same with your kids. One of the most important things you can do for your kids is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And so parents, invest in your devotional lives for the sake of your kids. Be committed to praying because your kids need a praying parent. They get stuck into serving at church because it will serve your children to have parents who love the Lord's people. I actually think this is a potentially freeing idea. It takes away some of the pressure of achievement by raising up a less complicated view of good parenting. Kevin DeYoung he's an American pastor and theologian, and he's got like 11 kids. He wrote a wonderful little book called Crazy Busy. And in each chapter, he just looks at a different area of our lives where we feel the pressure to be busy. And one of the chapters kind of focuses in on parenting. And his conclusion at the end of the chapter is this. He says, I want them, my kids, to look back and think, I'm not sure what my parents were doing, or if they even knew what they were doing. But I always knew my parents loved me, and I knew they loved Jesus. Maybe it's not that complicated after all. I mean, that's achievable, isn't it? For our kids to know that their parents love them and that their parents love Jesus. Parents, love Jesus. And make it clear to your kids that you love Jesus. And secondly, what we see in Deuteronomy is parents, teach your children. Now look down at verses 7-9. Impress them, that's the commands and words of the Lord, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, and on your gates. See, Deuteronomy 6 is clear that the Israelites were to teach their children the commands of God, and by implication, the good news of God's grace that comes along with those commands. Now that language of impress them is the idea of teaching your children diligently, of repeating the commands to them, of sharpening your kids' thinking with the words of the Lord. And notice when that's to happen. At home, sat down, walking, lying down at night, getting up in the morning. This is constant talking to our kids about the things of God. Constantly chatting about his grace. Taking every opportunity to disciple them. A modern list might read something like, talking about Jesus while at home. Chatting through the ask questions that Sarah gives us on Sundays with our kids after church. Taking the opportunity whilst out on a walk to thank God for his creation. Saying grace together before meals. Praying at the breakfast table before school and work begins. Reading them Bible stories and praying together at bedtime. And notice how it happens. Talking to them and creatively helping them to remember the truth of God's word through symbols and practices, tying them on hands, binding them on foreheads, writing them on door frames. Again, a modern list might include reading stories of God's people together, some of those wonderful biographies aimed at children and young people, or reading through with your little ones the Chronicles of Narnia and all their wonderful Christian themes, listening to Christian songs together in the car, Slugs and Bugs, Awesome Cutlery, Seeds Family Worship, to learn about and pray for other people in other countries who need to know about Jesus, to get kids excited about mission. Establishing a rhythm to some of these suggestions so it ingrains the truth of God's word in our kids. Parents, you are to teach your kids. Now, I appreciate that none of this is groundbreaking stuff. This is the vital basics, the foundation of a ministry to children and young people. And I say it's the foundation to our ministry to children and young people at All Saints deliberately. I say our deliberately because parents, you might have the primary role of discipling your kids, but you can't do it alone. Both Psalm 78 and Deuteronomy 6 are addressed to Israel, to God's people as a whole. It is our collective responsibility, even if it's primarily your responsibility, that you have a community behind you. And so ask for help. The staff team and Sarah and I would love to help. We can point you in the direction of good resources to make teaching your kids easier. We're going to do that next week on Book Sunday as we push a couple of different Christmas devotionals to do with your families at home. We want to help you do that. We can help you if you're nervous about teaching your kids. We can support you. But also ask each other for help. There'll be people in the church family who are in the same boat as you, with kids a similar age to yours, who can offer you peer support. And actually, there will be some who have been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, who could lovingly offer you wiser, older, experienced advice. But also, as a church family, we need to be praying. As a community, let's be praying for families and for parents in their important work of discipling their kids. Let's be praying for that 75% of people who come to faith before the age of 18. I'll let you into a little glimpse into my prayer life. I use an app on my phone to organize my prayer life because I'm a disorganized man. And one of the things I've set it up to do is every day it pings up the name of one family in church for me to pray for. So not just kids and not just teens and not just parents, it means I get to pray for families as a whole. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if as a church we were in the habit of praying for families and for parents, but also if as individuals you took a deliberate effort to pray for the parents in our church family. In fact, why don't we do that now as we end? Let's pray for families and for parents. Father, thank you so much that we have a thriving youth and children's ministry at All Saints. Thank you so much that it is growing and more children and more families are being added to our big church family. Father, I pray that the children at All Saints would grow up knowing that their parents love them and that their parents love Jesus. I pray as well that they would grow up knowing that their church family love them and that their church family love Jesus. Father, help us to teach our children well and help us as a community to be supporting parents in that important role. We ask all this for the good of the children and young people here and for the sake of your glory in their lives. Amen.